Good evening.
Good evening.
And amen. Haven't we had a wonderful time? Now, friend, if you were here and you did not enjoy, thoroughly enjoy all that has been happening this evening, the trouble isn't with us. It's with you. And you know, this is why only believers will be in heaven. No unsaved person would enjoy being in heaven. If you find that you don't like the music that we've been singing, then you would be very miserable in heaven. That's a fact. I remember maybe 25 years ago. I grant you that's before most of you were born. There's no question about it. But that's all right. And there was a group of us who, every August, second Saturday in August, we would get space on the Hudson River Day Line and sail up the river singing songs of glory. Then we'd have a Bible class. We'd get on the grounds and we'd have another Bible class. And we'd return singing and preaching. And I remember as we set sail up the river, in the space that we had reserved for ourselves, there were two young ladies. They were sisters. One was a violinist in the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. The other was an organist in one of the largest church buildings in the city. And as we sang the songs that you were singing here tonight, a look of disgust came over their faces and they walked out. Couldn't enjoy it. And friend, if you are here and you have not enjoyed the singing tonight, the trouble is not with us, it's with you. And you need to be born, as we have said this morning, into the family of God. I commend all of you. The instrumentalists, of course, you know I like them and the way they play. And then these lovely folks that sang. Now, I'm going to take the liberty of saying something. I don't know if all of you know it. What did you think of the last number? Well, it reminded me of a Handel oratorio. I found it delightful. And to show you that all of the wise people and talented people in the world are not out there in the world. We have a lot of them among the Lord's people. The composer of that selection, word and music, our brother Al. Did you know it? Some knew it, thank the Lord. I think it's wonderful. The Lord still has his people. Young people, serve the Lord. You're doing the best thing that you can do. And before we go into our subject, let me thank all of the saints for your kindness, your hospitality, your graciousness, your goodness, and all those other things. We thank you very much. We have enjoyed our stay this weekend. The last time I came, I think it was in October, and many of you threatened me very gently. But you told me, don't return without your wife. And she's here. And we have enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your courtesies, your kindness, and all your fellowship and warmth. And now shall we turn to our subject, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And tonight we will conclude our study of the believer as a bondservant, as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, in the will of the Lord, one day we'll take that as a subject. That's a fascinating subject, just those two words. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, a bondservant. And every believer is a bondservant. And friend, if you are here and you are not a bondservant of Jesus Christ, you are a bondservant of Satan. Those are the only two doors open to you. And if you are a bondservant of Satan, You can be translated and transformed and transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you too can be a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now we have seen that number one, the bondservant has a responsibility to obey his master. And we looked into that. And every believer here is responsible to obey the Lord 100%. We saw also that bondservants are required to work. That's why they are bondservants, bondslaves. You expect them to work. And I ask you, child of God, are you working? Whom are you working for and just what are you doing? Are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? Do you know what he wants you to do? And then we have seen that the bondservant should be honest, full of integrity, and that he should be wholehearted, full of zeal, and do his work with passion, avidly, as unto the Lord. Now, there are many other things that a bondservant is responsible to do, but we will only cover one tonight, Malachi chapter 1. That's easy to find. That's the last book in the New Testament, part of the Old Testament. Oh, my. That is a case of the mouth being ahead of the brain. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my respect, my reverence, my fear? The bondservant owes it to his master to respect the master. We owe it to the Lord to show him reverence. And we are living in a day when reverence is a thing that we're not finding in, shall I say, the church, in the home, or anywhere else. We owe it to the Lord to reverence him. Luke chapter 18, please. Verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared, who respected, who reverenced not God nor man. Let me ask you tonight, friend, do you reverence God? Or perhaps you say there is no God. That's dangerous ground. Anytime you speak an absolute like that, you leave yourself committed to great danger. Is everyone here fearing God? Now, when we speak of fearing God, we don't mean being afraid of him. That's not what the fear of God is. The fear of God is fear that we might do something that he doesn't want us to do. Something that will offend him. That's what we're talking about. The fear of God. It's an attitude of heart whereby the children of God show that they have God as their heavenly Father and they respect him. We are living in an age when respect for God, man, beast, or anybody else is getting less and less. We have in our area a number of people from the Pacific. And one of the things that they complain about, when they were at home and with their children there, the children were respectful. And in many instances, they would bow before their parents. They were exceedingly courteous. But they have come to the United States. And they have taken on the mores and manners of many of the children in the United States. And now when their parents speak to them, they neither bow or obey. Lack of reverence. The real word is awe. Now, I will grant you that many of you have heard this message because I believe I spoke on this at the Galilee camp last summer. But to remember what I've been saying, education is repetition. So if you hear the same thing again tonight, don't get offended. Maybe the Lord wants to place something indelibly on your mind. I remember the first time I saw the Grand Canyon. Here was a deep hole in the earth, 1 mile deep, 10 to 12 miles across. And I looked at that hole and I said, what happened? And I was filled with awe. I could see the hand of God in that canyon. Now, some people see the Grand Canyon once and say, I've seen it. The Lord has blessed me that I've seen it several times. And every time I've seen it, I've been filled with awe. This is the hand of God. Now, nearby you have Niagara Falls. I suppose it's routine to most of you. I've seen that many times. And every time I see it, I'm filled with awe. And that is what this word is. We should spend our time and in His presence in awe. He is God. We need to get rid of this concept of familiarity with God. Oh yes, He has brought us into His home and into His household. And we are members of the heavenly household. But that does not mean that we should not respect Him. Now, I'm going to ask you to share a few scriptures with me. Most of them I shall read without much comment. I'm going to ask you, I know it may be a little wearisome, to turn to each one, please. And see how men of God reacted to the presence of God. Exodus chapter 3. Respect, reverence, awe for the God of heaven. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 3. Now all of these scriptures we know well. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. Well, that's a precious study. Why the bush didn't burn. But that's not our study tonight. I recommend it to you when you go home. Why the bush did not burn. What did it represent? But we must go on. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. I recommend another study to you. The number of times God called an individual twice. Moses, Moses. Abraham, Abraham. Study the number of times. It's fascinating why he used to call their names twice. But that's another study too. And Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Not fear that God would do something to him. He was in a state of awe. I'm in the divine. And this is the way that we should feel when in the divine presence. Sure, we are children of the Lord. Sure, we have access at all times. But he's God. And we should always approach him with a sense of awe. Oh, he is God. Never let God become commonplace in your thinking. Chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, verse 12, for connection. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. By the way, notice, folks, the Lord gave commandments. He did not give suggestions. Very important. When the Lord says something, he means it. He does not make suggestions. He did not give 10 suggestions. He gave 10 commandments to be obeyed. That too is not our subject, is it? So we go on. Moses rose up and his minister, attendant, assistant, whichever you like, Joshua. Moses went up into the mount of God and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us. Until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the mount, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses. Why do you think that Moses was up there for 6 days, covered by the cloud, and the Lord called him on the seventh day? The divine presence. Don't haste in the divine presence. Keep your feet in the divine presence. And maintain a distance between you and God, even though we are his children. He is God. And we are, shall I say, humans saved by grace. Joshua chapter 5. It's nice to hear the pages turn. I told you about that. Joshua chapter 5. Respect, reverence for the divine presence. We tend to take God too casually. He's God. And though he loves us and has done wonderful things for us, he's still God. And we need to be very careful of our conduct in his presence. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I come now. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? He was in the divine presence. Reverence in the divine presence. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. But, verse 4, there shall be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. A space between them and the ark. The ark represented the presence of God. There must be a space. No matter how intimate we may be, he is God. There is to be a space. And you will remember at least two instances where those that who got too near and too intimate with that ark. And one was struck dead. In the divine presence. Great care as to our approach and our conduct. Now, I hope I'm not boring you. I'm simply saying the same thing over. Because I am convinced that one of the things in the world today is lack of respect for God. We expect it there. But we do not expect it among God's people. So I'm going on. Isaiah chapter 6. I dare say almost all of us know this. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. Please note what they did with these wings. With 2, they covered their faces. They were in the divine presence. With two, they covered their feet. They were careful of their approach and their movements in the divine presence. And with two, they did fly. And what did they cry? Holy, holy, holy. Oh, beloved, do we know what holy means? God is holy. And when we approach his presence, we do well to be careful of our conduct and our manner and our behavior. Verse 5. Here's a man in the divine presence. Then I said, woe is me. I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And let me tell you, beloved, when you get in his presence and realize who he is and who you are, your head will go down. Reverence in the divine presence. I'm going to skip some. The time is moving. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, please note, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. And what did Peter do? When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on him, for he was naked. And we need to know how to dress ourselves properly in the divine presence. God has never approved of nakedness. And that is why he clothed Adam and Eve as he did. And someone has said, God clothed them, and from that time down to this day, men are unclothing themselves. Look at the styles, the indecent exposure. Let's be careful of our dress in the divine presence. He's God. Now, I'm not going to make any more comment on that. There's much that could be said. We could talk about the cherubim. Yeah, let's talk about the cherubim. Ezekiel chapter 1. Reverence in the divine presence. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. And he describes their appearance. Verse 11. Thus were their faces and their wings. Thus were their faces. What direction do you think their faces were in? And that's another thing, young folks. You see, you don't get all the answers in one place. If you want to know what direction their faces were in, you have to turn to Exodus chapter 24. The cherubim were over the mercy seat with their faces looking down. That's right. The Lord was above. They didn't look up at him. They were looking down. Reverence in the divine presence. Book of the Revelation, please, chapter 4. Book of the Revelation, chapter 4. Verse 8. And the four living creatures had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holiness. He is holy. Verse 9. When these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Reverence in the divine presence. It was Lamb, the writer, who said, if Shakespeare were to enter the room, I would rise. Obviously. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to enter the room, I would fall to the floor and worship him. That's the attitude that we need. We're not honoring just a man. This is the God of heaven. Reverence in his presence. We have a tendency to become very casual in the Lord's presence. Now, it's true, as I've said, he has saved us. We're in the heavenly household. We have the privilege of drawing near to him at all times, anytime we can draw near to him. But that does not mean that we should be irreverent. That does not mean that we should be careless in the divine presence. And we need to be careful how we refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not the man upstairs. I hear that too often. The man upstairs. Do you know who he is? 1 Timothy chapter 2. He is the man Christ Jesus. That's who he is. And oh, beloved, you be really careful. Don't take on these expressions that you hear. He is not the man upstairs. Christmas time. He is not the sweet Jesus boy. When that youngster, that infant, was in the arms of his mother, she was holding him, but he was holding by the word of his power and the power of his word the entire universe. Do you believe that? Little Jesus boy. Irreverence of the highest form. Be careful when the Christmas season comes. That child in that manger was very God himself, holding together the whole universe. Do you wonder, therefore, that when the wise men came from the east, that they brought gifts and fell down and worshipped him? They knew how to behave in his presence. They knew what was fitting in his presence. And sometimes I hear the folks singing, Sweet Holy Spirit. No. Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. You know that. He's referred to as the eternal spirit in Hebrews. You get it in Acts chapter 5, where they lied to the Holy Spirit. And then, to make sure that we understood, Peter says, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not the sweet Holy Spirit. You may use those words if you like for your children, but not where God is concerned. We need to get a better view of who he is and respect him for who he is. While he was on earth, not one of his disciples ever addressed him as Jesus. Now you read when you go home tonight. Not one of his disciples ever addressed him as Jesus. They addressed him as Lord. And too often I hear believers talking about Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus that. No, no. He's Lord. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. I think we looked at it this morning. We were near there. is 23. 23. Please don't refer to him as Jesus. And there are some of our good friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. From time to time, I have occasion to pray with them. And all I hear is Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, no. That's out of order. Luke 23, verse 52. This man, speaking of Joseph, went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus so that he might bury it. Right? In chapter 24, verse 3. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Why? He's resurrected. He's Lord. He's not Jesus. If you want to call his full name, fine. Lord Jesus Christ, but never Jesus. And by the way, beloved, he's not our older brother either. I hear some believers going around talking about, he is my older brother. And then you ask them, where did you get that from? And they tell me Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at it. He's God. And he deserves the respect and honor due to God. Older brother. Now we should start at verse 9, but for the sake of time, we won't. Verse 12, saying, the Lord speaking, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I say praise unto thee. You know, I like this verse. One day the Lord is going to sing in the midst of the church. I wonder what he's going to sing. Will his voice be tenor, baritone, or bass? Or will he do like those outstanding Russian singers has arranged from bass way up to high soprano? I want to hear him sing. But meanwhile, we read here, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Well, then if he calls me brother, then I'm his brother. Well, he's my brother. Is that right? I'm glad to see the sister shake her head in the neck. That does not make him my brother. By any means. And then they say, well, what about Romans 8 and 29? What about it? Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, if he's the firstborn, then he is our brother. Right? Thank you. You get it in Psalm 89 and 27. Read it when you go home. The President of the United States is Mr. George Bush. You see, I would refer it to the Premier, I think, of Canada, but I don't remember his last name. I did ask somebody, but I forgot. So we'll take the President of the United States. He's Mr. Bush. His wife, Mrs. Bush, is the first lady of the land. She is the first lady of the land. Does that mean that she's the oldest lady in the land? Of course not. I'm older than she is. No, I won't talk about my wife, but I know some ladies that are older than she is. She's the first lady of that, but that doesn't mean she's the oldest lady in the land. It does mean that she's the highest ranking woman in the land. That's what it means. And when we read here, compare it, as I said, with Psalm 89, or was it 87? When he speaks of the firstborn among many brethren, it's not age, it's rank. He has the highest rank among all of us. That's what it means. So he's not my older brother. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful how we take his name, his attributes. I have a little piece here. Let me read it for you. The writer says, I have noticed lately that more people than ever seem to use expressions like, oh my God, as an expletive. Or they'll say, I swear to God, as an oath of truthfulness. Now, nobody here does that. Am I right? The believers don't do that. Fine. It is always a sin to use God's name in a careless way. Jesus made that clear to the Pharisees. They punctuated their speech with such statements as, may heaven strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. They thought expressions like that were all right because they didn't actually use the word God. Who's deceiving whom? You think God doesn't know what they mean? You think he doesn't know what the words mean? After all, God, not heaven, has the power to strike a person dead. And Jesus commanded, swear not at all. To take God's name lightly, as the Pharisees did an oath or as an expletive, shows a lack of respect for God's holiness. I have another one. I like this one. This one reminds me of how I was brought up. Oh, I thank the Lord for my parents. They taught me a lot of things that I really didn't know why they said it. But with the passage of time, I have learned that they knew quite a bit. They didn't go as far in school as I did, but I tell you, they knew this book. And so it reads as follows. A professor in a sound seminary was not allowed to use the words goodness, mercy, gracious as exclamations when he was a child. Neither were we. You didn't talk about goodness or gracious and mercy. Oh, no. Why not? You see, my dad wouldn't let us do it. I never knew why. He just said, don't do it, and he didn't do it. Or if you did, contrary to how they train children today, they would apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And you wouldn't do it again. He was inclined to think the restrictions a family peculiarity. That's what I thought. Merely a parental overcarefulness. But now he can see that it had a sound scriptural basis. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is required in the third commandment? The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's name, titles, attributes, orders, ordinances, words, and works. Certainly goodness, mercy, graciousness are attributes of God. You know anybody else is gracious? These are divine attributes. And they're not to be used carelessly when we are worked up or when we are disturbed and then we utter mercy and gracious. No, no, not as believers. These are divine attributes. We need to honor and reverence the Lord. Another writer says, there is a time when we need to fall on our faces in the presence of God's holiness and majesty, in recognition of our own weakness and sinfulness. We must rejoice in God, be glad that we can approach Him, but remember He's God. And we must never approach God as a pal or friendly grandfather. God, for one thing, oh, by the way, if you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to take Him for yourself personally because God has no grandchildren. You're either born a child of God or you're not. But you can't get in there by holding on to your parents' shoes or anything else. I had a brother that used to think that. And from time to time, he would get up in the middle of the night and go to my parents' bedroom to see if they were there. His thinking being that if they were on the way to heaven, he'd hold on. Well, thank the Lord he was saved early in life and could sleep the whole night through. We didn't have to worry about the Lord taking our parents away. God has no grandchildren, friends. You're either a child of God or you're not. You either come as he has said you should come, we mentioned it this morning, or you're not a child of God. We are not to approach God as a pal, And I want to emphasize that. Surely God is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He forgives us. All of these wonderful things. But he's still God. And we need to be careful of how we approach him. In our enthusiasm about freedom. Oh, we like freedom, don't we? And we do have freedom to go into the Lord's presence. But please, beloved, remember, he's God. I think I've said enough. The message has only consisted of one thought. Respect and reverence for the divine presence. May God help us to practice it. As those who are bondservants, the bondservant owes respect to his master. And we owe respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it is hymn number 6. Yes. And as we sing it, remember, he is the one whom we are singing of. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. I hope it will. Holy, holy, holy. Merciful and mighty, he is. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Before we sing this, let's dismiss in prayer. And should there be any here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not absolutely sure that you're going to heaven. It was just last Sunday. No, a week ago, 2 weeks ago tonight. At a meeting in Brooklyn, I was speaking along similar lines. And then I was just led to speak of the coming of the Lord. He's coming. I like that hymn that the brother gave out. He'll come and not tarry. Oh, that's a beautiful hymn. And so true. And in the course of speaking, as I said, the coming of the Lord was not part of the message. But I mentioned it. And there was one young girl there who seemed so upset, so concerned. And as is often my habit, I was at the end, the rear of the meeting, near the exit. And I said to her, "Nice to see you this morning, young lady. Are you going to heaven?" She said, "Well, I think. I said, "Would you like to know?" And I can see her face. She said, "Yes, I'd really like to know." And she knew that morning. If you are here and you're not absolutely sure that you're going to heaven, you can know. Any number of the believers here will lead you to the knowledge of sins forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray, and then we'll sing this hymn number 4. Holy Father, again we bow in thy blessed presence. And we thank thee for who thou art, the only true and living God. And we thank thee that thou hast vouchsafed to us this knowledge. We thank thee, too, that thou hast saved us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It may well be that there are those here who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who don't have this assurance that should he come or should they depart, that they would be with him. We ask thee, as the Spirit speaks to them, may they just yield to the voice of the blessed Holy Spirit and bow to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And as we sing this hymn, we ask thee to dismiss us with thy blessing. We thank thee for the very precious weekend that thou hast granted us, weather-wise and in many ways. We thank thee for the warmth, the fellowship, the love, and the appreciation, a foretaste of heaven. We give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 4. Please excuse me. Number 6.
Holy, holy, holy.
So good, I'm going to ask you to stand. And for the sake of time, let's sing verse 3.
Holy, holy, holy.
I say, friend, if you are here and these words don't have real meaning for you, stay behind. Don't waste any time. You may not get home tonight. Settle tonight. Thanks. Oh.